Yeah, hey, Francis. Postal officials told the committee today that their new tentative agreement with the 200,000 members of the American Postal Workers Union is indeed a good deal for the Postal Service, and it'll help them cut costs by $3.8 billion over the life of the contract. But pushing harder and trying to force the union to make even more concessions, possibly reaching an impasse, would have been a roll of the dice, they say. That would have thrown the deal into binding arbitration. James Miller, a member of the USPS Board of Governors, says that would have been bad news for the Postal Service.
Our current system, from all the evidence that we have in times that we went to compulsory arbitration, is that the system is biased in favor of labor and against management. The unions know this, and we know this. And so in our decision to accept the best we could get with our negotiations or go to arbitration, we had to keep this in mind.
Lawmakers also heard from union members that their side did, in fact, make sacrifices. Cliff Guffey is the union's president.
As a labor organization, we have no desire to destroy the company that we work for. We entered into these negotiations knowing that the Postal Service was under dire financial strait by the pre-funding requirements and that we would have to work our way through it. And in doing so, we wanted to ensure the future.
Though USPS says it will save billions of dollars under the contract, all sides agree that the savings alone won't restore profitability. What will, the Postal Service says, is eliminating what it says are unfair requirements that make excessive prepayments into the federal employee retirement system for future retirees. Without those payments, USPS says it would be running a profit, not a loss. Postmaster General Pat Donahoe.
Here's the thing. We have paid into the retiree health benefits $43 billion. What we would love Congress to do is to take a look and see that that $43 billion, along with what the chairman mentioned, our ongoing payments. We think when you go ahead with a 400,000-person postal service going forward, we're already covered with that. So we don't want any money. We want no taxpayer money. We just want Congress to remove that burden that we're being forced to pay. First, you owe $6.9 billion back to me in FERS overpayments. I got a bill last week from the OPM increasing my premiums. I mean, I'm already overpaying. Just give us what, treat us fairly. We will do a good job for you.
But Oversight Committee Chairman Daryl Issa says the union contract misses the mark and in some areas actually makes postal labor costs less flexible. Republicans on the committee complained about a no-layoff provision. Still, Issa says the committee's open to making legislative changes that would restore postal profitability.
Additionally, this committee in the past on a bipartisan basis has been willing to delay certain required deposits in order to allow the post office time to regroup.
Despite that, there was not much apparent support from the committee's majority Republicans today for making the congressional changes USPS wants, which are, besides adjusting its pension obligations, allowing it to go to five-day delivery. Members reserve some of their biggest criticism for the union itself, as you hear in this somewhat tense exchange between Guffey and Dennis Ross, the chairman of the Postal Service subcommittee.
But it's more than that. I mean, let's be honest. It's a lot more than that. And let me ask you this now. How do you feel about this agreement?
We're both going to be honest.
Sir?
I'm going to try.
I'll ask the questions.
Okay.
Thank you. Now, how do you feel about this agreement?
I feel like the agreement was a give and take. I think.
And you told your employees it's a pretty good deal, didn't you?
I have told my people exactly what it is.
And you think it's an excellent deal, so much so that you're going to pay your members to vote, are you not?
I'm not paying anybody to vote.
You're not paying your members? Have you looked at your website where it says, to encourage participation in the contract ratification process, APW President Cliff Guffey is encouraging locals to get out the vote.
I do.
The national union will reward the locals that are most successful in mobilizing members to vote. So you're buying their vote, are you not?
They can vote no.
And
if every
not,
one of them votes no, they vote no.
In addition to buying their vote, are you not also using it as a membership
drive? Sir, it's an affront to say I'm buying people's vote.
I
realize that's common practice on your side of the table, but it's not with mine.
Does your website not offer compensation to vote?
It offers people to encourage people to vote.
Thank
it
you.
Offers encourages the locals to vote, not one way or the other.
So there's that, and also Florida Congressman John Micah said USPS is a dinosaur that keeps getting fed by Congress. And as he pointed to his BlackBerry, he asked Guffey about how a postal system can survive in an era of electronic communication.
More and more is going over this. They're even going to this. When they go to this, they'll need fewer than the 400,000.
You can order your medicines over that, but you cannot get them delivered to your home.
Well,
The mail volume is going to change.
True.
The type of mail is going to change.
That's true, and that's why I usually use FedEx or UPS. But what you have to do is adapt, and the post office is becoming a dinosaur and will soon be extinct if it doesn't adapt.
And we're working very hard to adapt with the post office.
The money tree in the backyard died, and we've got to find a better way to deal with a $6 billion and your $15 billion credit limit or whatever it is about to run out, and there's no more coming from here. Thank you.
I thank the gentleman.
Yield back.
There was also clear reluctance to removing the 2006 requirement that USPS do accelerated prepayment toward its future retiree health costs. Chairman Issa says his side of the aisle regards that as full payment, not prepayment. On the matter of the labor force, he says the committee's goal is to make sure the Postal Service is right-sized. He was irked by the contract's no-layoff provision and says USPS has already done has already has more than 100,000 people on the payroll than it actually needs.
I know you're looking for legislation. I've got to tell you, what we probably need to do is bite the bullet one time and figure out how we're going to retire people that are over 55 and have over 20 years of service to help get your number down. Voluntary departures aren't working. The fact is you have less than 1%, or slightly more than 1%. You have the lowest attrition. Any private company would love to have the attrition you have. Basically, I mean, you still have two people that are 98 years old on the payroll.
Now, Donahoe says plenty of people do retire from the Postal Service, and management has moved aggressively to cut its workforce. In fact, 110,000 employees down since 2008. He says the Postal Service's primary problems are legislative mandates and not labor or management issues. Now, the union contract is now before APW members, a committee that represents the rank and file. We'll need to sign off on that first. Then it heads to all union members for ratification. Reporting live, I'm Jerry.
That's Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu live on Capitol Hill covering this hearing of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee on Federal News.